Here out of the 84th chapter of the book of Psalms, 10th verse, the 11th verse, and the 12th verse, I believe I'll read. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I want to talk with you just a little bit tonight, and I don't know just exactly what I'll say, but a lot of times I come in with a thought in mind, you know, something that I'd like to talk about, but I try not to confuse it with what God wants to do, and I just, whatever he gives me, that is what I try to talk about. I want to read just a little more and maybe tie some thoughts together if I can. This is in the book of Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? And what is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, unto thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, again, I would say it was strange that I would take a text like this. Everything seems to be adding up in the same direction. A lot of times a person can be a Jonah. And the worst thing that I know of that you can do is be a Jonah. Jonah is typical, as you know, of the Lord Jesus. Going over to Joppa to catch a ship out. You remember how the Lord had Peter over at Joppa? And it was a place where the ships came in and out. Then if you notice here in the scriptures, Jonah said, I was in hell. Whereas for several days, nights, he was there. And he said he cried to God, and God heard him and lifted him up. And this is where one of the places that the Jehovah Witnesses, as they call themselves, get the idea that the grave is hell. But anyway, Jonah, being symbolic of the Lord Jesus, really gives us a beautiful picture. A lot of people would say, Brother Pike, how can you make a comparison of Jonah to Jesus? In that the Lord Jesus came as a holy and upright man and Jonah was a runaway, rebellious and contrary. But the Bible said that Jesus was made sin. And God looked upon Jesus as that which was in rebellion and contrary to God. Not in that he rebelled against God in his deeds or his heart, but in that his image, being in the likeness of sinful flesh, it caused God to frown on that human body that he might not frown on us. And it is a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus, the death of the Lord, the contrariness of the flesh to the ways of God. For God had spoke to Jonah and told him what to do and explained to him his desire and his will, just as the preacher has told you so many times, just like I've explained to you and maybe other ministers have explained to you. I've told you over and over the will of God. And I started off tonight by saying, he that's often reproved, that hardeneth his neck or his heart, stiffens his neck, shall be destroyed. The Bible said it'll be a sudden destruction. It shall happen suddenly, and there shall be no remedy. It'll be in a way and in a time that there'll be no remedy for it. Nobody will be able to help you. Like a case, I don't think Bob would mind me relating this, but we had talked to Bob, and the devil was pushing Bob and getting Bob out of sauce, and all of a sudden Bob was going down the road. No air of trouble or expectation of anything wrong, and all of a sudden his truck hit a slick place in the road or something happened, and Bob told me that he turned all the way around in the road, all the way around, and his truck turned a complete circle, and yet God spared him, and Bob told me how it shook him up. And then another Bob, if you remember, that was killed. Some of you remember Brother Bob. He was killed. Brother Zale's boy and Bob going down the road. And I had warned both of them. I talked to both of them and really warned them. And Bob was going down the road. And he was on his way to work. And all of a sudden, a little car coming down this way lost traction and somehow got turned around and caused this car that Bob and Brother Zale's boy was in to wreck. And then a truck hit him from behind and it killed Bob. Now, all of this is because that we give place to Satan.
The devil does these things when we give place to him. I remember in my life, you've heard me tell it, I let my boy drive on one occasion, going down a slick hill, and him being a boy, didn't understand, and he got to going too fast, and all of a sudden I found myself down at the bottom of the hill. The car had turned sideways and run off the end of the bridge and nosed off in the creek and went straight down. And when that thing began to happen, all of a sudden it looked like something screamed at me and said, "It's caught up with you." And I'd been praying, I'd been fasting, I'd been serving God. I'd been doing my very best to obey God. But see, a little word here and a little thought there and a little difference here. And what we do, a lot of times we say a little something, we do a little something, or we pass our opinion on somebody, or maybe we set out the table and have a little gesturing, whereas the Bible said it's not convenient to gesture, and the thoughts of foolishness is sin. But we pass our opinion, and we do a little something. And then it seems to go on by. It appears that nothing doesn't happen from it, that we don't have any repercussion from it. And everything seems to be all right for a day and for a week and for a month. And we soon forget about the wrath of God, and we get into a place to where we feel everything's going to be all right. Then all of a sudden, some great calamity, some catastrophe, some outstanding thing begins to swallow us up. And we suddenly realize that God keeps a thorough record of every incident of our life, right down to the place to where he said that every thought should be brought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. A lot of times I tell you, brethren, I say, "Brethren, don't be resentful. Don't resent me. Don't resent your brother. That's wild imagination. That's thoughts." And the Bible said God will feed you the fruits of your thoughts. If your thoughts are evil, then God will feed you evil. If your thoughts are righteousness, God will feed you righteously. And so then Jonah, his thoughts was wrong. God told him to do something. God said, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach." Now, it was important that Jonah go to Nineveh. There was a whole country of people that needed somebody to preach to them, that needed somebody to guide them, somebody to help them, somebody to keep the wrath of God off them, because they didn't know any better. They were ignorant of the things of God. And God said, "Jonah, you go over there." But instead, Jonah went to Tarshish. In other words, Jonah done just exactly contrary, or right to the opposite of what God told him to do. Now, ain't that just like the people? You tell them to do something. A lot of times I tell some of you to do something on the job out here that I feel that that's the way it ought to be done. And I go back, and when I go back, you've done it just exactly your own way and contrary to the way I ask you to do it. Just exactly. And I'm shocked at it. I go back, and a lot of times you'll say, "What do you think about this, the way that I'm doing it here?" And a lot of times I'll say, "Well, go on," because in my mind I'm standing there thinking, "Well, what can I think about anybody that would do a thing like that after I so precisely and precisely told you how that it ought to be, and you gave such little heed to it till you've done it your own way?" And I'll say, "Just go ahead." That's the way God does. In other words, he warns you and he tells you. He has a preacher to tell you, and maybe he'll have somebody else to tell you. Maybe you'll see something in a paper, a book, or a piece of literature, or whatever. God will warn you. Maybe some strange incident will happen. God will warn you, and then you just press on over. And after a while, God will say, "Go on, Balaam, do whatever you want to do. Just go on, you're going to do it anyway. Go on." And the Bible speaks of getting past feeling. In other words, you come to a place to where you get past feeling. You don't have any feeling about it anymore. You don't have any feeling towards your wife. You don't have any feeling towards your children. You don't have any feeling towards your fellow man. You don't have any feeling of correction or anything toward God. You feel fine about the whole situation. You can talk about somebody. You can gossip. You can find fault. You can do things. You can get with people that are not doing right and living right. And it doesn't bother you a bit. You just go right on. But after a while, all of a sudden, the truck wrecks, or you turn over, or something bad happens to you, your car crashes, and all of a sudden it's brought back to your memories. Or maybe some bad plague hits your family, Or maybe something bad hits your body, or a spirit of insanity falls on you, or some kind of bad something begins to happen to your finance. And all of a sudden you become aware that God hasn't forgot, that God keeps a good record. Now I want to tell you something, folks, and I want you to think on this. The Lord of heaven does not overlook one thought that you think. He does not overlook one deed that you do, one word that you speak. The Bible said in the day of judgment you will be judged according to the deeds done in the body. And by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Whatever you have said in word, whatever you have done in deed, is the thing that's going to bring you your reward. That's why a lot of times I tell you, folks say, well, I believe in faith. I'm not worried about it. I heard a man on the radio talking about faith, believing in faith. But let me tell you something. The devil can rock you to sleep with a sermon on faith. How many of you know that? In other words, grace and faith is one of his most cherished things when it comes to rocking people to sleep. And he'll say, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. Everything is grace. Everything is faith. God so loved you, you don't have to worry about it. But I'm going to tell you something. I've said this before, and I want you to think on it, that when Noah was saved, he was saved by the works that he manifested. It was the ark that he built that caused him to keep from drowning. You follow me? The Bible said God would judge you by your deeds. You understand? God is going to judge you by your deeds. But you say, Brother Pike, God will save me by faith. But there is no such thing as faith unless there is a manifestation of your believing. There has to be something produced in your life, or there is no faith. It's what you do that proves what you believe. How do you know that? It's the life that you live that proves what you believe. You can say that you're a Christian all day long. You can say, I believe all day long. You can do that. But I want you to know that that's not going to do you any good. It's whether or not you live right. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will? Lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. This is the will of God. What does the will say? Love one another. The will said love indeed. The will said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father's. This is to visit the widows and the orphans and their affliction and keep yourself unspotted from the world. Is that right? The will of God is for you to obey his word. I'd appreciate it if y'all quit getting up and down and going in and out so much. I don't appreciate that in the house of God. You say that's open rebuke. The Bible said it's better than secret love that others might see and fear and not do it. You move around so much in the house of God, it's just no reverence or respect at all. Now, and I appreciate if you don't go out to smoke. We don't appreciate people coming in here and going out to smoke. I read if you don't smoke, just stay out there. If you're going to listen to the Word of God, stay in here and listen to it. Then when you get out there and get through the Word of God, go on smoking. That's what you want to do. All right, now, because I don't appreciate it. Anybody can do without a cigarette long enough to stay in the house of God to hear a sermon. I know people have smoked all their lives, and done they can do better than that. All right, now, so then I say that we have something that we have to do. And that is we must kill out the old nature, the old man as we call it. We've got to kill this out, or we're not going to be able to make it into the kingdom of God. People do foolish things. How foolish people do and expect God to stand by. It's like a man that will go over here somewhere and stay on a job all day long, every day, and they don't pay him nothing, they don't give him nothing, but he stays over there so he can frolic or take a ride or take a trip and let his wife go hungry or let things go undone. You got a foolish wife. If he had a real wife, she'd go to him and she'd say, man, what's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? Why don't you wise up? You're not a baby. You understand what I'm saying? So it is with God. We are not children. God expects us to do something. Like men, you go to give them a job. You tell them about a job. They've always got something wrong with it. No matter what kind of job you give them, no matter what you tell them, there's always something wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with the job. It's wrong with you. That's where the trouble is. It's like a woman. She marries one time, two times, 10 times. And every husband she gets is something wrong with him. Or a man does that. Every wife he gets something wrong with him. There's nothing wrong with the companion. The thing that's wrong is with the individual. In other words, they got a devil of lust. And they need to get rid of it. You understand what I'm saying? Like a mother that's got children. She's angry with them every day. She's upset with them every day. She's beating on them all the time. Always something wrong with the children. It's not the children. It's the mother. A daddy always finding fault with his wife. Always finding fault with her. What it is, he's got a fault-finding devil. That's what's wrong with him. He's a Jonah on God. She don't never please him in nothing because he's got a fault-finding devil. Somebody say amen. Now, same way with a preacher. You understand what I'm saying? If the preacher's forever finding fault with the congregation, then he's got a fault-finding devil. If the congregation is ever finding fault with a preacher, they got a fault-finding devil. You understand what I'm saying? There's got to be some services and some people at some times that are right. They can't be wrong all the time. Everybody's not always wrong. The preacher's not always wrong. He's got to be right sometimes. So then, it means that God is expecting something out of us. Now, I come in here a lot of times, like tonight. In my heart, I had some present-day revelation that I wanted to bring out. Some things that's been bubbling in my heart. Things that bring a great thrill, a great enthusiasm. But then I come in, I find myself talking about Jonah. Preaching about Jonah. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, how in the world could you preach to such lovely congregation and feel anybody in here would be a Jonah? How in the world could I preach to such a congregation and not feel I had a half a dozen Jonas? I happen to know for a fact I got about that many or more in here. Some of them showing up, one right after another. And as the light of Christ comes, it's going to show up even more. I've got some young men in here that are fine young men. I love them. I'd love to have them. But they act just as foolish as they can act. They won't make their families a living. They won't get down to business. They won't really grow up. They act like a little boy in diapers. Shame on you. Paul said, I speak this to your ignorance. And I would not have you ignorant. God would not have you ignorant. He's talking about something come up about working. CB said, I'll tell you, I believe we ought to work, Brother Pike. He said, we know that we've got to make a living. Said, we know that we've got to make a living. Said, why not get out and go to work? That makes good sense. He's not an old man. He's a young fella, but he's got enough sense to know better than what some of you are doing. You go 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years, and you say, well, I believe the Lord will have mercy on me. Brother, you better believe it. One day God's going to tear you up. The Bible said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you up. He said, I'll tear you into pieces. So then God expects something out of us. God said, Jonah, I don't want you to go to Tarshish. I want you to go where I tell you to go. I've got something I want you to do. Somebody said, well, what I want to do is go preach. But maybe God wants you to dig a ditch. Somebody said, well, I don't want to dig a ditch. I'd rather carpenter. Maybe God don't want you to carpenter at all. Maybe he called you to dig ditches. Or somebody said, well, I don't believe that. There's a lot of folks doing it today. There's people on the gang that spend all their time digging ditches and planting grass and picking up rocks. And somebody said, but Brother Pike, they're not called for that. The Bible said there's some that's made to be brute beasts that was made to be taken and burned. God made them for the purpose to be taken and burned. Now, I don't like to see people caged up. I don't like to be caged up. That's a horrible feeling. It tears me up to even think about it. But you have to cage up wild beasts. That's what cages are for. If a man isn't going to be a son of God, if he's not going to live right, if he's not going to walk right with God, then you got to put him in a cage. You understand what I'm saying? I know a lot of people get caught in that. There are a lot of people that's in the cages that ought to be on the outside, and a lot that's on the outside ought to be in the cages. But I'm just telling you, God looks on them as brute beasts. And beasts are made to be caged up. They're made to be burned. That is violent, wretched beasts. Not tame beasts. There'll be some beasts in the millennium. But brute beasts are made to be taken and burned. I'm glad I'm a son of God tonight, ain't you? I'm glad that I'm a son of God. So then God tried to explain to Jonah and tried to reason to Jonah, but Jonah had his own ministry, didn't he? Come on. I said, Jonah had his own ministry. He followed his own leading, didn't he? Yeah, the Lord said, I got a ministry for you over in one place, and Jonah decided he wanted to spend his ministry in another place. And God decided he'd spend some time pinned up in a little hole called the belly of a whale until he learned better. Somebody said, well, wait a minute, Brother Pike. I don't believe God's in this thing when they stick you down in a hole somewhere over here in a prison and they don't give you nothing to eat and you stay down there in the darkness. It looks to me like he was in it. Somebody said, well, I think that's mighty cruel for God to put you down in a place like that. But see, God himself came down in a human body and he got down in that hole and he stayed down in there and he knows just exactly what the suffering is. And he didn't ask you to do nothing that he hasn't already done. And if you do wrong, he'll stick you down in that hole. You understand what I'm saying? So then, God is trying to speak to somebody tonight. We got some Jonahs here, and God's trying to speak to them. He's trying to tell you something. Somebody said, well, bless God, I knew that I ought to quit my job all the time, Brother Pike, and get out from here and go out here and start frolicking. Somebody said, preaching. I'll tell you what, if you got a call from God, you need to get out from here. But you know what a Jonah is? The very thing that I was speaking about the other day. When the pastor disfellowships a man, you leave him alone. If that pastor's a man of God, stay away from that fella. Because if you don't, you're a Jonah. That man's a Jonah and you're bidding in Godspeed and you're partakers of it. The Bible said withdraw. When a man does wrong, let the pastor withdraw from him. Let all the congregation follow the pastor and let all of them withdraw from him. That the man might be ashamed and learn better than to do his evil. You might win the man to God. He might repent. Now, what is a Jonah? One that will not do the will of God. The will of God said for Jonah to do one thing, he wanted to do another. When the preacher preaches to you, that's the will of God. The Bible said it's not him that's speaking, but it is God speaking from within him. That is the mouthpiece of God in the earth. God is speaking through the minister because he is the mouthpiece of God in the world. And he's sent there for your good. He is sent there to be a constant reminder to you of your evil and of your wrong. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I'd rather nobody would tell me about it. Well, why do you come to church? Why don't you do like the murderer and the drunkard and the harlot and all the rest of them? Why don't you just stay out there and not come around, not let nobody remind you of it if you don't want to hear about it? Just go on. The Bible said the fool will just go on till the dart strikes through his liver. Just go right on. Don't let nobody tell you about it. Just keep going right on till after a while some policeman or somebody blows your brains out. And you wind up in hell like the song said. But if you come to the house of God because you want somebody to tell you, then remember that God has got parents over you to where they can constantly remind you of the wrongs that you're doing, that they might be a reminder to you. Peter said, though you know these things, yet I am a constant reminder that you can't get by with sin. How do you know that? The Bible said God's eyes are throughout the earth beholding the good and the evil. Now, he rewards you according to the deeds that you do in the body. You can't get by. They used to have a song they sang a lot of time. There's an eye watching you. Everything that you do, be sure there's an eye watching you. You love the Lord? I'm going to close in just a few minutes. I just want to talk to you just a little longer. Felt like exhorting you tonight. And even though, like I said, I had some present day truths in my heart, a whole stream of things that I want to talk to you about. But I didn't feel that that was what the Lord wanted. He took me to Jonah. Something is happening. Some of you won't go on with God. I'm talking to you in the simplicity of my heart, of my life. Why do you want to be a Jonah? Why do you want to be contrary? Why do you want to be resentful? I've had people say, Brother Pike, what can I do? I can't help it. That's a lie. Since when does a man in the condition that he can't help from doing those evil things? When has a man been in a condition he can't help from smacking his wife in the face? Beating his baby? Some of you here in a congregation, I get reports where you're sitting here hearing me preach, and the baby will start bawling, and you'll put your hand over his face and almost smother him to death. That ain't no reasoning. You're liable to kill him sometimes. That's no way to do it. I say, well, I'd do that, Brother Pike, because I want to hear what you're saying. Well, if you don't use the more wisdom math, there ain't no need to hear what I'm saying. Because what I'm saying ain't doing you no good. If you was listening to me, you'd have more wisdom than that. Mothers do that. Mothers get up from here and get in a temperament. And they leave out me and they go down to these rooms and they beat them babies and go outside and frail them little fellas until they satisfy that old devil that's got a hold of them. And then when you'd cry, you say, why did you do that? Well, he made me so mad I tore him up because he wouldn't let me sit in there. No, you didn't do no such. See, that kind of spirit, having that kind of spirit, you didn't get nothing out of sitting in there to start with. You'd have been better off if the baby could have took you out and gave you a good spanking. The baby's in better shape than you was. At least he didn't know no better. So see, that's not the way to do it. You know that you are a mother. You know that you've got children. You know when the baby acts up, you have to go out with him a few minutes. And I don't want you to miss the sermon, but you can always go back and play the tapes. I don't mean for you to go down to fellowship and start a knitting party or something down there. I don't mean that, like some of you did here for a while. I don't mean to go outside and frolic all around the building. I don't mean that. I appreciate Jerry. Jerry gets up. People start down in that fellowship room. Jerry gets up and goes down there. For a long while, he wouldn't do it. But he does. He gets up and he goes down there. And when him and Floyd goes down in the rooms, I appreciate it. When Sister Frances goes down there, I appreciate it. Now, I wouldn't want Jerry and Floyd and Sister Frances just getting up, going in and out, just using that for an excuse. God would get them. But when it's necessary and God speaks to them of something going wrong and they perceive it, it is their job and their responsibility to God to go down there and straighten the thing out to protect the house of God. Whatever you have a responsibility to do, you need to do it. Folks, listen. You might say, well, I don't feel like that's what I want to do. But did you know that if you don't do what God has given you to do, that you won't do any better when God gives you what you want to do? Did you know that? If you're not faithful in the least, the Bible said you won't be faithful in much. If you don't have a nature to give with a little, you don't have a nature to give in a lot. Did you know God gave me a nature to give, and I'm thankful. And my wife, a nature to give. And I've made the statement, I can remember before God, when we would go out, you've heard me tell it, in the cold, and maybe pick up just a few pecans, and sell them and get 25 or 30 cents out of them, and take our tithe money out of the 30 cent when we didn't have another bite to eat, no income, nobody to help us, no furniture, just living in an old house. Didn't know where we could even pay anything on the house or not. We was living there for the time. Pick it up. Buy just a little bite of bread or a cracker, whatever we could get, or something we could roast over the fire and pick up some twigs in the cold and throw it in the ashes. Try to heat something over it. But out of that 30 cent we shared with God, and now that we've got hundreds of thousands of dollars, we still share with God. God's given us probably around $1 million now. But listen, long before I ever knew anything about big money, as the world calls it, that's what they said uptown when they looked at this church. It's just one church. That's what we call big money. Now, but long before I ever knew anything about that, I shared with God. See, it's not what you got, it's what you are. It's not where you are, it's who you are. If you don't get along with the preacher here, you're not going to get along with the preacher over there. You understand that? Somebody said, but now, Brother Pike, I've seen people leave one church and couldn't get along with that preacher, and they went and got along with another preacher. No, if they left the church where there was a preacher, a real God man, and went over there and got along with that fellow there, it wasn't a preacher. It was another devil just like them. And they teamed up together. Didn't leave one preacher and go to another preacher. Because if you can get along with one preacher, you can get along with all the preachers. And if you can't get along with one preacher, you can't get along with any preachers. Because they're all supposed to speak the same thing, see eye to eye and walk hand in hand. And if you go to another, there's something wrong with him. It's the same way with a brother. If you can't get along with that preacher and you can go to a brother and you get along with that brother, that means that brother's got a devil and you got a devil too. Come on, folks, you can say amen or oh me. But if the preacher can't get along with you, and then you go to another fella, and that fella can't get along with you either, it means him and the preacher's in harmony. That means that him and the preacher's got a devil and you all right. Or either you got a devil and him and the preacher's all right. Somebody said, well, that's the way I thought it was, that preaching him had a devil. Well, I tell you what, nobody could be in any worse a shape than a man that would call anybody his pastor that's got a devil to come listen and preach. So you're in worse a shape than he is. So then, don't be a Jonah. God doesn't want you to be a Jonah. As a wife, don't be a Jonah. Do your duty as a wife. Do your duty as a husband. Do your duty as a son and daughter. Do your duty as a Christian, as a preacher. Whatever God has called you to do, then God wants you to do it. You understand? God wants you to do it. I appreciate Tommy here. Down here, we appointed him in the lot down here to watch after the traffic. And I go down there, and sometimes he's so cold, he can't hardly stand it. He's standing there so cold and shivering. But he tries to be faithful to his position. And I'll tell you what, if he will be honest and upright with God, someday God will bring him into a mighty thing as a mighty man with God. Now you watch what I'm telling you. But the man that is not faithful over the little won't be faithful over the much. If he makes excuses of why he can't do anything when he's got a little, he'll make excuses when he's got much. If he makes excuses of why he can't carry on the office that God has put him in, he'll make excuses of why he can't carry on the office when God puts him in a better place. Look at King David. What was David's attitude? Here David was over here a king. A great king, and people would fall at his feet. While the whole world feared him because he was so mighty in God and God was so much with him. But that same little David, if you remember, back out on the hillside was faithful in watching after the sheep. That same little David made the statement, though he was sitting upon the throne, he said, I would be satisfied to be a doorkeeper. Come on, folks. I believe if God had said, David, get down off of that throne, I'm going to use you for a doorkeeper, David would have bowed before God and said, whatever your pleasure is, O Lord. I believe that. You might not believe that, but I believe that. When that man spit on him and mocked him and cursed him, and one of his own fellow soldiers said, David, if you'll just give me the opportunity, if you'll just say the words, I'll take that man's head off with my sword. David said, don't bother him. Said he couldn't curse me unless God would let him curse me. Said he wouldn't be cursing me if there wasn't some reason for it. He wouldn't be doing that if there wasn't some reason. You understand? All right, I want you to stand with me. Now, I've talked to you out of my heart tonight. Tried to exhort you and tell you how I feel and what I feel that you ought to do. And if you're having trouble, folks, there's a reason. The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. If you can't have proper food and you don't have proper clothing and you don't have proper heating, don't sit around and pity yourself and say, woe is me, I'm like Job. Because you're not like Job. Job was a holy man. God put Job through a trial. And God brought Job out in a greater way. One night I'd like to preach on the trying of your faith. But he brought him out in a greater way. So when you sit down and you get in trouble, you say, well, Brother Pike, it's because of my wife. She's to blame for this. Don't lie. It isn't your wife. You're to blame for it. Somebody say, well, it's because of my husband. That's the reason I'm in the condition. No, it's not your husband. You're to blame for it. He don't have anything to do with it. You're the one that's to blame for it. It's because you didn't do right if you're in a spot, if you're in a bad place. Somebody said, well, I don't see it like that. Well, it doesn't make any difference. It just proves you're blind, that's all. The Bible says you'll not see when good cometh, and this is good. Right here, what I'm telling you. So then, that's the way it is. In other words, if you've got a problem, it's because of you, not because of somebody else. When I have problems, it's not because of somebody else, it's because of me. Like today, when I felt that resentment, I told a brother, I said, I'm going back to my prayer room. I just come out, and I felt like I should have stayed in there and prayed a little bit. And I come out, I try to reason a little bit, and somebody started to resent me. I said, I'm going back to my prayer room. I went back home. Now, God will burn your fields and tear you up for doing wrong, but God's always got somebody that'll do wrong. How do you know that? He's always got somebody that'll do right. But he's always got a Pharaoh that he can harden his heart because he ain't going to do right anyway. He said, for that purpose, I've raised him up. Now, if you are a Pharaoh, if you're a troublemaker, if you are somebody that caused division, if you're somebody that gossips, somebody that backbites, somebody that always causing something to go wrong or saying something bad, it's because God has raised you up for that purpose, to harden your heart against the truth that he might destroy you. He said, I raised Pharaoh up so I could destroy him. These are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. If you are somebody that makes peace, that loves peace, that do not gossip, you don't gossip, but you make peace, you love peace, you want unity, you want to see people work together, don't want to do nothing to hinder the kingdom of God, don't want to say nothing that would hinder the kingdom of God, and don't want to cause any friction, then the Bible said, blessed is the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. But it said, mark them that cause division among you. When somebody causes you to be at enmity with another brother or divided with another brother, the Bible said, mark them. Mark them and have no fellowship with them. God is not divided. He's not divided. One of the seven things that God hates is he, are you listening? One of the seven things that God hates, now God hates a lot of things, but he enumerated seven of them that it really gets him upset, and he'll tear a man out of the frame, as somebody said one time, for these kind of things. One of the seven is he, I hate him. I hate the man. I'm against him. I walk contrary to him. If you walk contrary to me, he said, I walk contrary to you. I hate the man that will sow discord among the brethren. You can say that you are a preacher, you are a prophet, you are a know-all, or whatever you want to be, but he said, if you cause division or sow discord between my brethren, he said, I hate you. So that's God's opinion of it. Brother Pike can't change it. I'm not going to try to. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. If you've been sinning, Brother Al Gonzalez sings that song, Sin No More. If you've been sinning, then sin no more. If you've been doing foolishly, then don't do it anymore. Don't do that anymore. Little brethren, get out and get yourself a job. Don't be childish. Don't be childish. Get out and get yourself a job. Don't stay over on some job to where you just stay around and act like a little child. Can't feed your family, know you ain't gonna get nothing, and just mess around and play around like a little boy playing in the sand or out in the water somewhere. Wake up before God gets upset at you. You're married now. You've got a responsibility now. And God's expecting you to do something now. You shouldn't have married that little girl if you didn't want to take care of her. You shouldn't have brought those little children into the world if you didn't want to take care of them. God said, you've denied the faith. In other words, no need to come tell Brother Pike that you love him and that you're with him and that you believe this. Don't tell God you love him and you're with him. Because God said you denied the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word. You've already denied the message. He said, he that won't provide for his family, he's denied the faith. To begin with, he's not a Christian. He's already denied the faith. And the Bible said he's worse than an infidel. Worse than an infidel. A man that will make excuses and not provide for his family and try to pay his just and honest debts, he is worse than an infidel. I'm telling you the truth. Even if a man don't live for God, if that man's honest and pays his bills, God will have some respect for him. If he's got enough integrity just to try to to do something for God. How do you believe that's true? So, you need to do something. You need to do something. Remember, you're married. Don't be worse than an infidel. Don't deny God. Don't be a Jonah. Don't keep going contrary till after a while God lets something bad happen to you. Because he's bound to do it. Sooner or later, something bad is going to take place. Something will happen and you'll be sorry that you didn't listen. It's coming your way. This very night, God is warning somebody. Now you remember this night. Remember this night. I hadn't made a big thing out of it. Hadn't tried to throw a lot of fear into you. I just tried to be as congenial as I know how toward you and try to love you and talk to you as a brother. But this night, God is trying to tell somebody something. When I started off singing that song, the great judgment morning, and remember the judgment morning is when God rejects you. If it's tonight that God cuts you off and you die tonight, then your judgment's done come. And if you live and you don't die, and you come to the house of God and you don't live right, your judgment's done come, because judgment begins at the house of God. If this preacher's up here speaking, the Bible said, whosoever sins he remits shall be remitted. Whosoever sins he retains shall be retained. That means if I bind your sins to you by this word, if I preach this word and this word fits your life in that you're not living right, then I bound your sins to you. If this word fits your life and you are living right, then the Bible said, whosoever you bless shall be blessed. Whosoever you curse shall be cursed. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. I'll make my ministers a flame of fire, and they shall defile the stubble. Will you not be afraid for conscience' sake, seeing that they are the ministers of God? You ought to be afraid for conscience' sake, for he said, I have sent them there to execute judgment upon them that do wicked. That's why the judge is there. You love the Lord? A lot of people fear to go before a judge, especially some judges. Because there's some judges that just won't compromise. If you've done wrong, brother, you're in trouble. Now, if you stumble and made a mistake, there's some judges that'll be lenient. But if they know that you know better, you're mature, you understand, then you're in trouble. And you might not never believe this, but that's what a preacher is. God created a natural judge and put him in the earth for one purpose. That was to show the preacher. Because he is the judge. It's not him speaking, but God. And that's why that they have the 12 elders, the 24 elders, and the 12 elders. It's to show the jury. That's what it's for. So then, we are here to help you, to remit your sins or to retain your sins. But there's one thing for sure. You're going to have to be loyal to the Word and submit yourself and change your life and conform to His laws and His ways. I'm telling you tonight, there's something about to take place. As sure as I stand here tonight, there's something about to take place. I feel like some of you are getting over, you're running over your grace period. You're getting over the line somewhere. And God had us to sing that song, The Great Judgment Morning. He followed it up with the song we wrote about the flames of hell. They've never seen it before. He followed it up with a sermon on Jonah. And the exhortation that I have given you tonight is on that very thing. Now, ladies, it could be you. Men, it could be you. Young folks, it could be you. It could be anybody. It could be me. It could be the singers. It could be the musicians. It could be the husband, the wife, the children. But it's for sure is somebody. Tonight, God is trying to reach somebody and trying to help you. Mothers, let me tell you something. Now, you hear me in what I'm telling you. Now, you hear me. I want you to listen at me. You watch your spiritual children. Watch your spiritual children. Jesus said, if you love me, watch my babies. Feed my lambs. Is that right? Feed my lambs. Watch after them. Feed my lambs. Now, I want my ushers, when people go in and out the church, I want them to stop them. Don't let them come back in. If they're going to go in and out, don't let them come back in. Just like when the young fellow was here, he just kept coming in and out. He wouldn't obey the rules. And finally, they just had to stop him. And finally, he learned to obey the rules. But if they're not going to do right, I don't want them on the campground. And if they're not going to stay in the house of God, I don't want them in here. To go in and out, they're not going to learn anything anyway. It's just a devil to break the order, and what it is, it's a spirit, and if you let one bad apple stay in the bunch, it'll get every one of them rotten. That's the trouble now. Somebody said, work with them, Brother Pike. Try to help them. Let me tell you something, folks. He's going to give them an old-fashioned chasing. You can pray. You can preach. You can beg. You can stay up all night long. I've done it. But God's going to get them. That's the only answer. And when God gets them, then they'll learn to do better. Now you say, well, what does God want you to do with people? He said, turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh so they learn to do better. Are you listening? He's got a plan. The man kept aggravating Paul, and he kept trying to preach, kept trying to tell him what to do over there, and the man kept aggravating. Finally, Paul said, thou son of the devil or child of the devil. He told him, said, you'll be blind for a season. Them boys didn't play around with this gospel. God's lenient, but we're coming in a day of knowledge. People know better. So now, we want to do right. I want to help you. I want to be just as lenient as I can, but it's a place where I'll draw a line with you because God will make me draw the line. Now, I'm going to tell you again, I feel like that I've got some young fellas here that's not taking care of their families, not making provision, and not doing right, that they're playing around like a bunch of children, and God is fixing to get a hold of them. Now, I've done seen some visions, and I've done heard some things, and I've done seen some things, and I'm warning you, and I'm telling you tonight, don't play around with God, because you're going to be in for some heartaches. I got people here tonight that's got heartaches because they would not listen to us, and they played around with God, and I got some more that's going to have heartaches because they wouldn't listen. They thought God was letting them by with it, and they thought they'd get by with it. And they've got nothing but heartaches now because they wouldn't listen. For Christ's sake, don't wait till it's too late. Because when it's too late, then there ain't nothing you can do about it. Some of the people that's got heartaches right now, I told them a few services back. I said, don't wait till it's too late, but they waited till it was too late. Now there's no need for me to tell them not to wait till it's too late. It's already too late. And then a few services from now, if you don't watch out, it's going to be your heartaches and it's going to be too late for you. And you're going to say in your heart, my God, why was I a fool? I know you think you got it figured out, but the Bible said when you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know. And what you ought to know is what I'm telling you tonight. You better listen. You say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, the Bible said he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind, let you believe your own believing, which is a reprobate mind and be damned. For he told you not to lean to your own understanding. All right, so I'm trying to help you tonight. I want to help you. You got heartaches and troubles. It's like Sister Ann. She's got a bad temper. If she'd leave that temper alone, God would help her. But as long as she's got that temper, she's in trouble. I say that's open rebuke. The Bible says it's better than secret love. I love Ann. I've worked with Ann for years. I love her, but she come to me the other day and said, Brother Pike, said, my temper caused me to have trouble with my husband. Now, she's got to get away from that temper. And if she'll get away from that temper, God will do something for her. But if she don't humble herself and get away from that temper, then she's going to be in worse trouble than what she is. Like I told Willie, I don't know where Willie's here tonight or not, but I told Willie the other day, I said, Willie, if you don't stop hitting Ann, God's going to kill you, Willie. And he will kill him. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Yes, he will. He'll kill him as sure as you live. The Bible said, beware you forget godless. I'll tear you into pieces. A lot of people don't think God will kill, but God said, I kill and I make alive. I wound. And I heal. I bind up. So don't do wrong, folks. We're using great plainness of speech more and more and more because you know more. More is required of you. So I want you to do right now. I'm not saying these things about you to embarrass you. I'm trying to help you. But you better do right.
Because I got a feeling that something is in the makings tonight. As sure as you live, something is in the makings tonight. The Bible said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you in due season. It's hard for you to break your spirit. It's hard for you to humble your spirit. It's hard for you to submit. But God commanded you to submit one to another, and especially to the minister. Said, because they watch for your soul. Said, I set watchmen on the wall that shall never hold their peace. And I'm here as a watchman on the wall, and I'm set here for your good, and I'm watching. I'm watching. I got a brother here, he's a wanderer. He wanders about. He don't never really get lined up in no place. He wanders. But unless he does something, he's not long for this world. He needs to do something. God will add years to your life and spare you and help you. But when you wander and you don't take on a load and don't stand with brethren and don't help brethren, you're going to be in trouble. And it's my job to warn you. He said, if you see the sword coming and you don't want them, he said, I'll require their blood at your hand. Folks, I've warned you tonight. I've warned you tonight. I want to see you. I want to see you do right. I want to see you do right. I want to help you. I'm your shepherd tonight, and I want to help you. I want to love you. I wouldn't do nothing in the world to offend you nor to hurt you, but you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something. I had a brother just the other day, one of the brethren here in the church. I kept watching him. I thought, Lord, he's playing the hypocrite on me. And after a while, you're going to surprise him. I kept watching him. And sure enough, all of a sudden, God let Satan hit him. When he did, the evil that had a hold of him come out. And he come to me weeping. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, I played the hypocrite on you. He said, I knew I was playing the hypocrite. He sat right here in this congregation, just like some of you are doing tonight. And when I preached against hypocrisy and all these other things, y'all would look at me and wonder, well, why are you so cruel? Here you are preaching to us and we're doing the very best that we can. But you wasn't. There was hypocrites among you. There are still hypocrites among you. Even this very night, there's hypocrites among you playing the hypocrite. And I'm telling you, God said that someday I'll meet you face to face. Said, you think I'm all together, such a one as you are. But someday I'll get you. Someday I'll meet you face to face. I want to help you, but I'm not going to compromise with sin. I love you. There ain't a one in here that I don't love. I don't have no respect to person. Makes no difference what you think or how you feel. I have no respect to person. But I'm not going to compromise with sin, folks. If you do wrong, you sit in my congregation, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to close out in a few minutes. I'm not going to drag the service out and wear you out. I know you're tired. But when I close this service tonight, I've got a feeling that I'm going to hear from this service. I've got a feeling that I'm going to get a report from it. I've said that here before on numerous occasions, and you know that I've got reports from it. Things has happened, and I've got a feeling I'm going to get a report from this. So I'm asking you tonight, for the Lord's sake, be honest. You say, what can I do, Brother Pike? One thing, be honest with God. Be honest with God. Don't hold back on God. Don't play the hypocrite on God. Don't pretend with God. Be honest with God. God's not cruel. God's not hard. But God's not foolish either. You can't be a smooth talker and talk yourself out of things with God. You can't be a smooth talker and make excuses. You can't feel because you fasted a little bit or prayed a little bit that God's going to look over you in some special way. Don't you ever do that. The Bible said you're no better to God if you fast or don't fast. Praying don't make you no better to God. God doesn't save you on any merits or judge you on any good thing you've done or how much you've done. He don't judge you by that or how much you know, how much you feel you've lived right. He judges you by the blood of Jesus Christ. He sanctified you once and for all. God appreciates the fact that you'll try to do right. And it'll make God love you and try to work with you. But if you let that thing get to be a self-righteous thing that you beat on others and pick on others and mistreat others and lift yourself above others, then God will just turn against you. He said, I hate that thing that's more holy than thou. So I ask you tonight to humble your hearts. Humble your hearts. Now don't Listen to me very carefully, folks. I'm saying this tonight, taking a few minutes because I feel like I'm going to hear from his service. But listen real close to me now. Repentance that seems to be repentance is not repentance unless it is true from the heart. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears, but he never found the place of favor with God, which is true repentance. He said, unless you repent, ye shall all perish. He never found repentance. How do you know when you found repentance? When you live right after that you repent, you know that you found true repentance. If you do not live right, it's positive proof you've never found a place of repentance with God. The Bible said, he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins, not he that confesseth his sins, but he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins. Now, if you come up here tonight to confess your sins, or if you stand back there in your heart and confess your sins, the Bible said he's just to forgive you of your sins. But if you do not forsake your sins, your smooth words, your cunning speech, your crafty ways is not going to let you escape the judgment of God. You may deceive man. You may deceive the preacher. But God knows every thought and intent and motive of your heart. And you're not going to deceive God. You might weep and you might say, I've had a hard time. And God, you understand, because people have abused me. And you may get the sympathy of the people, but you won't get the sympathy of God. God's done been in this flesh. He's walked. He knows how much you can stand. He knows when you're suffering. He knows when you're not suffering. He knows when you're playing around. He walked every step you did. So you can't fool him. He's lived as a man. He knows your responsibility. He knows what you can do and what you ought to do. And he doesn't ask any more than you can do. The Bible said he's faithful. They will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. So you can do it, folks. If you're not living right, it's because of you, not because you can't, not because God hasn't made a way. If you're going hungry, going lacking, it's because of you, not because of God. He said, if you'll walk up right before me, you lack no good thing. Isn't that right? If you're having heartaches and troubles, it's not God. Said, he that delighteth himself in the Lord, I will give him the desires of his heart. Your enemies rise up against you, I'll rise up against them. If they trouble you, I'll trouble them. And look at the man that serves God. Said, the end of that man is peace. If you're lacking in substance, the Bible said, honor the Lord with your substance, your barns will be filled with plenty. If you're not having what you need, it's positive proof you're not honoring God with what you've got. All right, I want to pray for you. The ones that are honest-hearted enough to come down here tonight, feel like there's reason in their heart or they wouldn't be here tonight. And I want to pray for them. They're not here to be made a spectacle of, and when I spoke of Ann, I wasn't doing that for that reason. But I know that Satan is wanting to devour Ann and wreck her home and her life. And I know one of the reasons is because Ann won't get rid of her temper. I know that's for sure. And if she would, God would do something for her. There's a man here tonight. He's not straight with his wife. He's not treating her right. He lords over. Now I know that we're to reverence our husband as Lord. I know that. But now that doesn't tell us that we're to lord over God's heritage. The Bible said not to be a lord over God's heritage, but to be an example to the flock. And you're lording over your wife. You're not treating her right. You're not loving her, not cherishing her as your own body. You're trying to make her think that you're better than she is. And I know for a fact that you're not in as good a shape as she is. So you need to think it over now and pray. I tell you this because I love you. And I want to help you. But you need to think these things over. Sister Frances, did they get the blood stop for the sister Sister Francis was crying about a sister. The nose was bleeding. We prayed. I told her I felt God stop it. The Lord stopped it. Sister Darlene, we prayed for her the other day. She's about to have a seizure. We prayed for her, and she said today she's feeling fine. It's been days ago, and she's happy. God wants to heal you, make you healthy, happy. Serving God's joy. But you can't. Will you listen at me just for a few thoughts here? Brethren, serving God is joy, but a lot of you don't have joy. A lot of you sisters don't have joy. That doesn't mean you're not a Christian because you don't have joy. I'm not saying that you're not a Christian, but some of you don't have joy. David said, Lord, restore unto me the joys of thy salvation. The trouble is, it's not that you're not a Christian. It's not that you're not serving God. But it's because you have done so many things and been so careless and lighthearted and invited so many things and thoughts and opinions and words until Satan has come in and you give place to him and he's oppressing your life out of you. And he's took all the jubilance out of your heart and all the joy. But Paul said, let me finish my course with joy. It's so wonderful when you serve God with joy. When you live whole and be pure and virtuous before God. It's so wonderful then. It's like a woman that's clean and upright to her husband. He praises her. He loves her. He adores her. And her heart is full of jubilance because she's the apple of his eye. But a woman that's not concerned about him, don't care about him, husband has no praise for her. She serves her husband with sadness and sorrow. No joy in their home. Same way with God. You can have great joy, and the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you want the joy of the Lord in your heart, that's where your strength comes from. That's why you can't prevail against the obstacles of life. That's why you can't get out and have the perseverance that you'd like to have. You don't have any strength. You don't have enough joy. You're sad, sarcastic, and cast down, and full of woes and problems. Woe unto the backslider. One woe cometh and then another woe. But when you serve the Lord with pureness of heart, you've got a jubilance. You've got a joy. Folks, I'm telling you the truth from my heart, and I wouldn't lie to you. I've got a joy in my salvation. Now, I've made mistakes and I've stumbled. And I've been through the mill, as the world would say. I've been through heartaches and I've been through sorrows and I've been through sufferings. God's no respecter of person for Brother Pike as well as anybody else. But this is an absolute fact. I have joy in my heart serving God. That's why I have strength to stand up and to go on under all of the obstacles of life. He may let me fall tomorrow. I may do something wrong and lose that strength and joy. Because it's by his grace that I stand. But I can testify the victory tonight. For much over 20 years, soon be 30 years, that I've obeyed him and served him and walked with him and tried to do the things that he told me to do. And tonight my heart is still full of joy. I've staggered and I've stumbled, but I've never left my first love in God. Never. I love him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. I want to serve him and be obedient to him and love him and be a testimony. And I pray so often, Father, make me a perfect man in your sight. Make me to walk upright. I'm not weary after many years of serving God, but I'm joyful and glad and thankful, so thankful that I can have the opportunity to serve him. So wonderful, so exciting to me. I told somebody the other day, I said, I get so excited when I think about Jesus to think that I am an individual and I can believe that it is given to me as an earthly individual to be able to use what is called faith that can control the stars and the heavens and all these things. And a lot of times we say, well, Brother Pike, I just don't believe I can do that. But you can do that. It's given to you to do that. And to think that I'm a human being and yet I have that right. And then to sit around and die. Just sit around and wait and not have any ambition. And one day goes by and 10 years goes by. And sit there and all of a sudden become aware of the fact that I could have believed
But I could have tried to have done something. I could have perfected my faith. I could have the privilege of that great, outstanding experience of believing in God and seeing great things. My, that would be a sad thing to come to a place like that. To me, that would be sad. Because my heart thrills at His touch. And it thrills at the thought that I can believe. I just can't explain it. There's joy in serving God. I want you to bow your heads together. Let's see what Sister Ann wants. I will. All right. Let's just bow our heads together and slip our hands up now. I'm going to pray for you as a whole tonight. I'm not going to try to weary you, tire you out, or keep you here. But folks, when I pray for you before God, I tell you the truth and lie not. Paul said, my conscience bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. His Holy Ghost bears witness with my conscience and thrills me with His presence. That I tell you the truth and I lie not. That I pray for you. I love you. I'm concerned about you. And God loves you. And God's concerned about you. It makes no difference who you are. He's no respecter person. He's concerned about you as much as He is me. And I pray for you at night in my bedroom. I get down on my knees. I pray for you. I don't just pray for you here, but I pray for you that God will heal you, watch over you, help your little ones, and do something for you. You believe that? Hallelujah. All right. I want you to lift them hands with me now. Close your eyes. Turn your hearts to heaven. The Bible said, with the heart man believeth. Father of heaven, tonight, being less than the least of any of these people, I stand here as a humble servant before you. Not a lord over your heritage, Father, but an example unto the flock, just a helper of their faith. I've tried to help their believing tonight to be in the right direction for the right cause. I trust that I've not offended anybody nor hurt anybody. For Lord, that was not my motive and not my purpose. But dear God, we've done what we've done here in Monroe and here tonight for the glory of Jesus' name, for His lovely kingdom. And Father, I remember what the thief said when the thief hanged there on the cross. And Father, when the thief looked at you in your dying moments and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Father, tonight, if I knew that there was a man here among us that was coming into a great kingdom, was going to sit in the place of the president and be king of this land. And I knew, Lord, that he'd have the power of death and life in his hands. I'd try to find his favor, Father, and ask him to remember me when he sat upon his throne. And Father, that thief knew that in this coming millennium, in a few coming years, Jesus, that you're to set in a throne on this very earth as a man and be in charge of all humanity. And there in your throne, you're going to have the power of life and death to them that favor you and to them that hate you. And Father, knowing that, he asked that favor. And Father, tonight, I know that also, that you're going to sit on that throne. And like that thief did, I ask you, O great and mighty King, when you sit upon the throne of David, remember me when you are in your kingdom. And Lord, let me find favor in your sight. And don't cut me off from among the people. When I bow at your holy feet and I look upon your face, and you worship authority over mankind, remember me, O King. For I'm trying to do this out of my heart for you and your kingdom, and for the praise and honor of your glorious name, and with all sincerity of heart, to lead your people to you and not to me, Lord, but to worship you and to worship your name and to obey you. And I ask tonight that these people that belong to you, Almighty King of Heaven,
these people that belong to you, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, that you would be merciful to them and theirs, and that you would heal their bodies tonight. Help them to lift up their faith. Help them to practice faith. Help them to make an effort, Lord, to put away the negative side of life and the negative mind. Help them to overcome the evils of their flesh, to subdue it unto thee and mortify the deeds of the body, that it might not run an interference with that faith that you place in their heart, that they might believe for the translation unto eternal life. I ask you to help them believe. Help them make an effort to believe. Help them to trust in your merits and your righteousness, forgetting those things that are behind and those mistakes they made and those errors, begging you to be merciful to them. Help them to believe tonight. Lord, you said that whosoever sins I remitted would be remitted. And tonight, through the name Jesus and by his word and his spirit, every faithful heart that's here tonight, everyone that truly believes in thee tonight, and everyone that's willing to submit to thee tonight, and to the leadership that you placed here in the earth in this place, Father, by your authority and your word, tonight, according to their faith in thee, I remit their sins tonight. I take their sins away in the name of Jesus. And Father, you said whoever I bless would be blessed tonight. I bless them in the name of Jesus. For how can I curse that which you have blessed? But I bless them in Jesus' name tonight. May they be blessed. And God, they will be blessed. As Jacob said, Lord, as Isaac said concerning Jacob, I have blessed him and he shall be blessed. Lord, I bless Jacob tonight. I bless Israel tonight. I bless the apple of your eye tonight, the spiritual Israel of God. I bless them tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. May thy blessings be upon them. Heal their bodies, forgive their sins. Walk with them and keep them, Jesus, in all the ways of life. Take care of their little children. Take care of their bodies. Deliver them from sickness and poverty. Deliver them from sin. Deliver them from wrecks. And dear God, though this be a peculiar type service tonight in that we preached on Jonah, Father, if there's somebody here tonight, Lord, that you're warning, and I feel that you are, then I pray tonight that a little bit longer that you'll bear with them. A little bit longer, Father. And oh God, help them to wake up. I ask it in Jesus' name. Remember these requests tonight. For I ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little chorus. I got a little something here I want Brother Taylor to read real slow and careful. He can read it over while he's waiting here so he can get familiar with it so that he'll understand. The words may not be spelt just exactly right. You can be seated. I'm going to let you go in just a few minutes. He's going to read a little something here. It's just an expression of the way that I understand God. And one night, I want to try to get into it and explain what I mean, because I know when he reads it, you won't understand it, some of you. But one night, I'd like to get into it and explain what I mean by this, because there's some great things in it, and there's a great significance in what it is. I want him to read it slow and careful.
Praise God. A given expression of God. By that we mean a declaration of his existence and state of being. Inasmuch as the Bible teaches Jesus is the express image of the invisible God, we are told that God is the great light unto whom no man can approach, whom no man has seen or can see. And that Christ Jesus alone, dwelling in that light, is the radiance of his life, giving expression, recognized as a human form. That is to say, as we are told by the scriptures, that Jesus has declared God. We understand by this that he is the formated expression or declaration of God. Thus God is seen as an exhibit, A simple expression of this in a comprehensible compound statement would be as follows. God is an eternal self-existing state of being of living radiance that is relative to humanity's creative form by means and medium of the sensitivities of faith. The omnipotent of the omnipresence of this existing living radiance is recorded by means and measures of the relativeness or relativity as it projects itself through form of human pulsation as a stimulus or activation of the heart and is channeled by intricate mechanism of human anatomy passing through the brain cells in course of brain waves or whence that is recorded on the nerves or vibrates that is recorded on the nerve system and climaxes as an activation of jubilance producing what is termed as characteristics or life. All of this having been done by means of existing lights and shadows, a radiance that is termed as spirits, either good or bad, which terminate or ends in an ultimation that is known as life.
I'm sure that some of you probably don't understand what I'm saying. But one night, if the Lord's willing, one day, when we have opportunity, we'll go into it and try to explain to you what we're talking about. And I say again that to know God the way that I know Him is such a wonderful, exciting experience. There is nothing like it. People don't even have any idea what God is or who God is. Even the most devoted people a lot of times and preachers that have spent their life, you know, in the things of God, still don't understand. But it's such a wonderful thing when you do. And I thank the Lord for His wonderful presence. Let's sing a little chorus together. If you'll stand with me now, we're going to sing a little chorus. And then we're going to let you be dismissed. Give me another kiss. I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I feel God, don't you? I feel the Holy Ghost. I want you to slip your hands up while I feel this wonderful jubilance of heart, this wonderful Holy Ghost, this wonderful Father of spirits tonight. Oh, I feel Him. I feel faith tonight. And I feel His presence. I feel you believing. I want us to sing it again just before we dismiss. I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me.